Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, and all of it is brought to you by Simple Contacts. Right now, you can get $30 off your contact lenses by going to simplecontacts.com/martini and enter the code martini at checkout. We will have much more from Simple Contacts a little bit later in this podcast. Jim, we start with a good martini on a bad guy that we don't talk about a whole lot, but Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe is not having a good day, and that means our day just got a little brighter. And this is developing as we record here late Wednesday morning. These reports from the BBC just a few minutes ago. And here's what they report. What has happened so far in Zimbabwe? Zimbabwe's military has placed President Robert Mugabe under house arrest in the capital of Harare, according to South African President Jacob Zuma. Mr. Mugabe told Mr. Zuma in a phone call that he was fine, the South African leader's office said. Troops are patrolling the capital after they seized state TV and said they were targeting criminals. The move may be a bid to replace Mr. Mugabe with his sacked deputy, and that's because there's a power struggle inside Mugabe's party between this ousted deputy and Mr. Mugabe's wife, Grace, who he wants to be the successor. Mugabe, who is now 93, has dominated the country's political scene since it gained independence from the UK in 1980. The military and the guy who's leading this effort says this is not technically a coup, even though it has all the hallmarks of a coup. So, Jim, whenever you have fights like this in a place like Zimbabwe, you're not sure if there are any good guys. There probably aren't. But we know that Mugabe is a bad guy. His repression against a lot of different people inside Zimbabwe to keep his power and to push down on people he doesn't like, especially farmers, has been legendary over the years. And the fact that he might be ushered out of office in a humiliating fashion is pretty darn good.
It is. I am reminded of that line from Chinatown. It's Chinatown, Jake. Well, it is indeed Zimbabwe, Greg. I'm not counting on things dramatically improving, but Robert Mugabe really is one of the world's horrific, brutal dictators and kind of escapes a great deal of attention in the West. You could probably make the argument that Western media doesn't cover Africa particularly well in general. But Mugabe managed to break through, and you know, the reason about why people see him as one of the world's great villains, early in his reign, they wanted to redistribute land that was controlled by white farmers to landless blacks. I guess initially the plan was to have this, quote, willing seller, willing buyer basis. But that didn't work fast enough, so they ended up with a not-so-willing seller, willing taker basis. In 2000, Mugabe encouraged the violent seizure of white-owned land. Food production was severely impacted, surprise, surprise. This generated famine, international sanctions, drastic economic decline. This is the sort of circumstance where you'd probably like to see new leadership. Of course, he was reelected in 2002, 2008, 2013 through campaigns dominated by violence, electoral fraud, and nationalistic appeals. Unsurprisingly, this is guys who seize power and stay in power through brutal means generally do not die peacefully in their sleep. We will see how this shakes out. The sad part of the good martini is that Robert Mugabe, at least at this hour, is fine. But hopefully that will change. So, anyway, either way, if he gets out of power, Zimbabwe might have a chance for a better future. Either way, anytime, whether you want to say it, karma, justice, or just plain old vengeance or consequences catches up with a brutal dictator, I consider it a good day. So that's why I say that's today's good martini.
Yes, definitely. And you're definitely right about the Western media being horrific at covering the politics in Africa, either due to lack of interest or just not understanding what's going on there. But let's move on to domestic politics now and the bad martini. Uncle Joe Biden, has a new book coming out. It might already be out. He's making the interview rounds as a result of that. And, of course, he's publicly kicking the tires on a 2020 presidential bid. This would be his third bid for the White House. He had campaigns in 1988 and 2008. If you combine the total number of delegates he earned in those campaigns, Jim, it's the same that you and I have earned in our presidential campaigns. He has not been a successful presidential candidate, but he would probably do better this time given the fact that he was Obama's vice president. So the issue of guns comes up in this town hall forum type deal on the Today Show, and a young lady asked Joe Biden why he's so intent on gun control legislation when gun control may have stopped the hero in this story.
So with the tragedy that just happened in Texas, my question is, how do you justify the Democratic view on gun control when the shooter was stopped by a man who was legally licensed to carry a gun?
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are... I wrote the last serious gun control law that was written. It was law for 10 years, and it outlawed assault weapons and it outlawed weapons with magazines that had a whole lot of bullets, and so you can kill a whole lot of people a lot more quickly, number one. Number two, it's just rational to say certain people shouldn't have guns. Now, the fact that some people with guns are legally able to acquire a gun and they turn out to be crazy after the fact, that's life. There's nothing you can do about that. But we can save a lot of lives, and we've stopped tens of thousands of people from getting guns who shouldn't have guns.
Jim, there's a few different possibilities for why Biden gave such a ridiculous answer to a very clear question. Either he really thinks that Mr. Williford should not have had a gun, or he didn't want to answer that question and just decided to talk about the shooter, or he can't hear well, or he's losing it and just decided to go there anyway.
Greg, I'm going to pick D, all of the above. We've been hearing about, we've had a bit of Biden nostalgia. It is worth to note that even amongst certain Republicans who had to deal with the Obama administration, that they generally liked Joe Biden. There was kind of this goofy charm, and they saw him as a straight shooter. There were Republicans on Capitol Hill who would say, look, if you go into negotiations with Joe Biden, you want A, B, and C. He wants X, Y, and Z. And generally, he'll work out that you get A, B, and C, and the deal includes X, Y, and Z. And the deal turns into this giant conglomerate that's kind of contradictory, but, you know, he tries to get everybody walking away from the deal happy. If you try to negotiate with Barack Obama, Barack Obama will spend 20 minutes trying to convince you that you don't really want what you think you want, and he knows your best interests at heart. Unsurprisingly, Republicans ended up walking away from their interactions with a better feeling about Joe Biden than they did about Barack Obama. But I do think maybe we have a little bit of nostalgia and a little bit of overrating Joe Biden's communication skills, because that was a terrible answer from the moment he inhaled to begin his first word to the closing sentence. The first is, you know, how do you respond to that question? Say, well, look, I would have disarmed the guy who stopped the shooting. What? That's not the problem. That's not what we want. Why are you boasting about that? You should be apologizing for that. And then the second part, when you close with the insinuation that perhaps the guy who stopped it was crazy, or simply closing with, hey, that's life. It was just a really tone deaf and awful answer from beginning to end. Presumably, Biden, if given a second shot, could do better at it. But we should not forget that Joe Biden has his share of gaffes and odd questions and his own inability to rethink his steadfast support for just about every gun control proposal that came down the pike. And let's also not forget, remember his home security suggestion was to get a shotgun and just shoot randomly out the door, hoping you hit the particular assailant attempting to get in. Most firearms experts, home safety experts, people in law enforcement would not recommend that as the preferred form of home security if you're going to use a firearm. So today's little the more you know suggestion from the Three Martini Lunch. Do not randomly fire your shotgun outside the door, hoping you hit the assailant and not anybody else who happens to be around.
Yeah, don't get nostalgic about Joe Biden, people. Just because he smiles and slaps people on the back, or if you're a female, perhaps somewhere else. Don't forget this is the guy who chaired the Robert Bork hearings. Don't forget this is the guy who chaired the Clarence Thomas hearings. Don't forget that this is a guy who has done some extremely hard-knuckled partisan things on many different issues over the years. So the aw shucks Uncle Joe is part of the image here, but it's certainly not the whole story. So people who think they are nostalgic and they miss Joe Biden need to look a little more clearly. And the good news is we can help you a little bit here, because Simple Contacts is a super convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in just minutes. You take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. It's carefully reviewed by by a licensed doctor. Then you receive a renewed prescription and order your brand of lenses. They have all the brands you're familiar with at great prices, making vision care simple, accessible, and affordable. And here's why you should try it the next time you need to order contact lenses. First, it's convenient. With Simple Contacts, you never have to leave home to get your prescription renewed or to order more contacts. It's fast. The vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. It's safe. Licensed ophthalmologists review every exam carefully. Then, Simple Contacts orders all the brands of lenses you're familiar with, including options for astigmatism, multifocal lenses, colored lenses, and more. The Simple Contacts exam is only $20. Compare that to an appointment without insurance, and that could cost you over $150. Plus, standard shipping is free, and all their contact lens brands are priced competitively.
Now, this does not mean you never go see your eye doctor again. Simple Contacts wants to make sure you have periodic checkups. But if you just need to reorder contact lenses and want to make sure your prescription is up to date, this is the way to do it. So if you want to skip another office visit, here's how to do it. First, get started with the online prescription renewal test. It takes just 5 minutes to complete using your computer camera and microphone to capture the same information as an office visit. Then you see if you qualify for an online prescription renewal. You can either upload your current eye prescription or you can take the test. Simple Contacts services most people in most states, and you can quickly check to see if you're a candidate just by answering a couple questions to qualify. Third, you take the online vision test. You'll record your eyes up close and read a visual acuity chart just like in a doctor's office. The test is recorded and then reviewed by a physician in your state.
So now here's the special offer for listeners of the 3 Martini Lunch. To get $30 off your contact lenses, go to simplecontacts.com/martini and enter the code MARTINI at checkout. And since this is the end of the year, don't forget that you should use up that extra HSA or FSA money that you may have. One more time, to get $30 off your contact lenses, go to simplecontacts.com/martini and enter the code MARTINI at checkout. All right, Jim, let's move to our crazy martini now. And there's a lot of different developments that have either qualified for our bad or crazy martini as it relates to the Roy Moore saga over the past week or so. And for this edition of the crazy martini, we go to Rush Limbaugh. Obviously, we've had a number of accusers now. One of them, of course, far more serious than the other, although the one that came out the other day with Gloria Allred has a similar case to that, at a young age of 15 or 16, being assaulted by Roy Moore. But Rush Limbaugh has decided that there's a different angle to this story that we're not thinking about and that we need to.
Did you know that before 1992, when a lot of this was going on, that Judge Moore was a Democrat? You didn't know that? How about all these people now? Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody here knew about Judge Moore. Oh, yeah, he's a good old boy. We know about Judge Moore for a long time. While he was a Democrat. Nobody said a word. When he supposedly was attracted to inappropriately aged girls, he was a Democrat.
So there you go, Jim. It's the Democrats' fault. The perpetrator at the time was a Democrat, and the Democrats covered for him.
I mean, my reaction to this, Greg, is like, okay. Does that mean it's okay to criticize him now? It's one of those things where if this is what it takes to get Rush Limbaugh to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't support this Roy Moore character, there are a lot of unnerving questions coming. If his old partisan affiliation is the straw that breaks the camel's back, I'm fine with that. Welcome to the team, Rush. Great to have you here. Great to have you on board. That kind of strikes a lot of us is fairly immaterial. I suppose you could say that the Roy Moore's experience probably reflects that of quite a few politicians over the years. You know, there was a long time the South was solid Democrat. It was perhaps a what we would consider to be a culturally conservative Democrat, but pro-spending, pro-defense, and culturally conservative. Going back to the FDR days, and certainly through LBJ and all of that. So it's not that surprising that he used to be a Democrat, but if you want to say he did these bad things or we should believe that he does these bad things that he's been accused of back then when he was a Democrat, okay, fine. I don't think when you change your party registration, you automatically get a clean slate for any potential crimes or utterly inappropriate behavior you've done there. And I think it's worth noting that, you know, Sean Hannity, who is not the first guy to throw a Republican candidate under the bus or to cut ties, had a really interesting statement yesterday where he said, look, Sean Hannity had that big radio interview with Roy Moore folks like myself said, wait a minute, there are a lot of contradictions in this statement. First, he's saying he doesn't know anything about these women. Then he's saying, well, he may have dated them. He doesn't really remember. He can't really say. He said, in general, he didn't date teenagers when he was in his early 30s, but he can't really say for sure that he'd never dated any of them. This was a blank denial there. Once you asked for the specifics, he started creating some wiggle room. I think this has left Sean Hannity a little bit unnerved. I think it leaves him wanting to know more. And yesterday he gave Roy Moore 24 hours to give fuller, clearer answers or else to get out of the race. So if this is what it takes to get some of the biggest voices in talk radio aligned with many other Republicans who believe that Alabama could do better, fantastic. Go for it. My suspicion is that Roy Moore will not change his mind. And look, maybe Rush is right. Maybe this all stems back to Roy Moore once being a Democrat, and that's why we always should have known he was flawed all along.
Is that his argument, or is his argument that's a water under the bridge because now he's a Republican, and if there is any blame to be cast here, it's on those who protected him back in the day? Is he actually abandoning Roy Moore?
I see this as an interesting observation from us. And yeah, you know, it's not it has not been widely reported that Roy Moore was a Democrat for a lot of years. I don't know if that's really that relevant to the accusations against him. If Roy Moore's behavior is as the accusers are describing, where this is not just a one-time, he sees an attractive girl, thinks she's well above 18, she turns out to be 17. Well, okay, that'd be one thing. But the fact that, you know, that we now have several women coming forward, and several of them, some of them have described criminal behavior, some have described just simply odd or let's say borderline. Like, there's nothing illegal about, say, an 18-year-old dating a 32-year-old. I think most people would find it a little bit unusual. And, you know, perhaps there's a reason you don't generally see girls fresh out of high school dating guys in their 30s. I think most people would say that's not the healthiest circumstances for a relationship. But then again, maybe I'm a prude like that. So we'll see. My suspicion is that you're going. I would not be surprised if, come Election Day, almost every figure in Republican and conservative politics outside of the state of Alabama has turned against him. I just have this feeling that this is, you know, this is just going to mount and mount. I feel like we've seen this before with lots of other politicians caught in scandals. They're absolutely totally convinced they can withstand the storm, and lo and behold. We will see what the verdict of the voters is, since I don't think he's going to step down or withdraw from the race. But I think, you know, voters will have their say, and the eyes of the country are on the state of Alabama.
Well, if there's anything we've learned about Roy Moore over the years, it's not that he leaves a fight willingly. So we'll see what happens on that front. And you've already seen most of the abandonment. The RNC is out. The NRSC is out. So largely it's officials in Alabama who are still alongside Roy Moore, at least at this point. I believe December 12th is the election day there. So a lot of time to cover between now and then. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our friends at Simple Contacts to get $30 off your contact lenses. SimpleContacts.com/martini and enter the code martini at checkout. Join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.